All right. What a day that the Lord hath made, huh? Amen. 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 Jan, thank you for starting us off like that. And Julie, Bruce, Ben, Curtis, Jeff, everybody, you guys are just, man, it is good to be back. It is good to be back. Some of you may know, my family and I took an extended trip, sojourn to Italy, if you will, and it's really good to be back here with family and the energy. And I'd like to greet you all today with a traditional Italian greeting. It is quanta costa. I'm just kidding. It actually means how much does it cost? But I said that, looking back, reflecting, I said that almost as much as I said buongiorno, which actually means hello. And that was a wonderful, fantastic takeaway, just getting to witness the passion at which they greet each other with in that culture. I mean, just every daily interaction, ordering their food, talking on the phone, greeting each other. It's this rhythmic, beautiful cadence of blah, 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 blah. And like, it is just rife with passion and vivacity. And it was just such a wonderful thing to witness. And it got me thinking, you know, that's what I want to discuss and reflect on today. How do we wake up? How do we greet the day in our experience? Is it with this passionate gratitude, these open arms, this hello, thank you? Or are we beleaguered? Do we wake up and wonder, or do we go through our journey and wonder, how much is this going to cost me? You know, what is getting lost in translation on our journey that is costing us our joy? And a lot of times, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that almost 99.99999% of the time, it's your mind. It is your personal mind, because the personal mind has desires, has expectations, it has wants, it has needs. And we're so worried about getting the things we want. And then if we get things we don't want, oh my God, that's even worse. And if by chance, the off chance, we get what we want, we sit there and we grab it, we cling to it, we hold on to it with all of our might, all of our energy. And it blocks us. It blocks us from the joy that might be right around the corner, from seeing what's next, because we're stuck so stringently in this place of want and desire and using our will to hold on to it. And a lot of times, we go outside of ourselves to find things, to find wants. You know, if I can just do that thing, if I can be with that person, or if I can buy that car or that house, the list goes on and on and on. And a lot of times, it's geographical. We say to ourselves, man, if I could just move to Hawaii or insert any place you might find desirable, but if I could just go to Hawaii, and I guarantee you, I'd be in the sun, and all my problems would melt away, and I'd have nothing to worry about. I'd be at peace. I'd be whole. I'm sorry to tell you, it's not true. Maybe for a couple weeks, but you'd be there, and you'd just have a pretty little lay around your neck to match that chip on your shoulder. It's not geographical, because wherever we go, there we are. We're stuck with ourselves. We're stuck with our stuff. Thomas A. Kempis, from The Imitation of Christ, wrote circa 1440 AD that the cross is always ready and waits for you everywhere. You cannot escape it no matter where you run, for wherever you go, you are burdened with yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. And that's some beautiful, hard truths. Some ancient wisdom right there. And if I'm being honest, I probably bought into that a little bit about our trip to Italy. You know, we'll go to Italy, we'll be fabulous, we immerse in the culture, and all of our perceived problems will just melt away. You know, we do that a lot, don't we? It's like we get that new thing, get that car, get the house, whatever. We want to distract ourselves. But I'm here to tell you that Robert Persing is right. The only joy that you find on the top of mountains is the joy It's the enlightenment you bring with you. And I can attest to that because we climbed a mountain in Italy, a big mountain with the kids, Mount Apomeo. And when I got to the top, I was angry. I was upset. I was frustrated, and my chest was tight. And it wasn't because I was winded. It's because the kids weren't doing what I wanted them to do. Here we were, we climbed this high mountain, had this gorgeous panoramic view of the island. And they're fighting, they're not listening, they're not appreciating the journey, the effort it took to get up top. And I'm sitting there, I'm frustrated because it's taking my joy away. It's taking my joy away. It's this beautiful scenery. I'm sitting there just frustrated, just mad. You know, it was the highest point on the island. It was this active volcano. I mean, the whole island was an active volcano. And had we known that prior, we might have made other accommodations. But there we were, on top of this mountain, this active volcano, and I'm erupting, you know? It's not the volcano, it's me, it's my stuff, it's our stuff. And I'm just mad, I'm just frustrated, it's like, come on, guys, you know? And I realized then that life, like little kids, rarely does what you want it to. And the sooner we can make peace with that, the sooner we'll be at peace, the happier we'll be. And I really judge that the universe is conspiring to get us out of the way of our stuff. It's, if you look at you, all these things that happen to you, it's guiding you somewhere. But we don't want to let it because we've got that beautiful thing called free will. And it's amazing, right? But it can also be detrimental because we use that free will to take everything so personally. We make it about us, this inner life, this personal life. And we shore up all of our blockages with it, you know, and we're not going anywhere. We're staying put. We're staying stuck in our misery. We can't see the beauty that's right around the corner because we're sitting there and this energy spiral, this vortex of hoping we get what we want or not getting what we don't want just sits there. And we sit there. And it's the funniest thing, you know? I do that all the time. I still can't go to the doctor without freaking out. Even if there's the most small abnormality anywhere, I'm like, I'm dying. Because my parents suffered a lot of, you know, things that I judge were horrible before they passed. And so I make that my story. And it's so ironic and it's so sad because I'm willing to bet top dollar that if our physical body, like our arms, our legs, our body was in a fire, we would hop out of that thing in a nanosecond. So it begs the question, why do we continually let our spirit get burnt? Why? What's the benefit? What's the cost-benefit of this? Not much. And there's some beautiful wisdom in the Bhagavad Gita. There you go. Say it with me three times. The Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, cha-cha-cha. And that's what I'm talking about, right? Why get frustrated? Take the moment, enjoy the moment, laugh at the moment. Abandoning desires which shake the mind finds in his soul full comfort in his soul. He hath attained the yog, the man is such, in sorrow is not dejected, and in joy is not overjoyed. Dwelling outside the stress of passion, fear, and anger, fixed in calms of lofty contemplation, such as one is Muni, is the sage, the true recluse, he who to none and nowhere overbound by ties of flesh takes evil things and good, neither desponding nor exalting, such bears wisdom's plainest mark. They're talking about being a sojourner, you know, someone that in the highest of highs is not losing their mind. They're not losing themselves. And in the lowest of lows, they're not dejected. We can do hard things, guys. We can handle hard things and still remain centered. That Tao, that invisible golden thread that connects us to God and to each other. Let's walk it and not get all crazy and out of self. You know, the word sojourner is a technical term for those travelers who are expected to return to their country of origin after achieving their goals. And a lot of times we look at that and we think of goals. It's not material. It's not a job. It's not this thing. It's not a shiny object. Taking it deeper, it's our origin is ourselves. It's who we are, and it's our connection to God. To be able to witness creation and experience. And I judge the whole part of this journey. There's so much we don't understand about it, but I judge the whole part of this journey, the whole reason for it, is to get back to that. To get back to what we've so seemingly forgotten and seem to forget all the time. And we'll have these moments, right, where we feel so exalted and, I've got it all figured out. And then something will come and bump your edge and you're right back to bottom floor, square one. But it's the work of a lifetime. It has no end game to it. And the sooner we can embrace that and have a little grace, the more joyous we will be. You know, we want things. It's human mind that wants things. That's human, right? I wanted, you know, sexy Italian getaway with my wife. Taking our kids. The math doesn't really add up there. But, you know, my wife and I wanted to go to Italy for years. Before we got married, we wanted to go for our honeymoon. But a lot of things transpired to make it not possible. And every year, we just kicked that can down the road. Finally, we had the meeting of the minds, and it's like, okay, you know, we're not guaranteed next year. Heck, we're not even guaranteed tomorrow. Let's just do it. We want to do it. Let's make it happen. And we'll go have this fabulous Italian getaway, and the kids will hopefully pick up some cultural enlightenment, and everything will be fine. Right? What could go wrong? And so leading up to it, I steeled myself for, you know that phrase, expectation is greater than realization, kept fluttering in my mind. And so I thought I was prepared for what was going to transpire. Well, the time comes to leave and get on our flight. And, you know, we're just so, we're so excited. The kids are really excited. Indiana, our youngest son, was like, I can't wait to go to Italy. You know, it's just cute, like, stuff happening. And we're excited. Our emotions are high. We got all these expectations. Get on the flight and the kids fall asleep pretty quick, and they sleep the entire transatlantic flight almost. And it's like, oh, my God, all right, bless up. Thank you. I see you, God. Thank you. And we get there. We land in Milan, and we go, and our bags don't show up. So that is the first spiritual test, okay? I've got all my custom boots. I've got my Italian fashions in there. You know, I was going to play dress up. All the life is a stage, and I was ready to Mambo Italiano, baby. I was ready to get it going, drink some vino, and I don't have my stuff. So we go to the baggage claim. The guy doesn't speak hardly English at all, and he cannot find our tags. He cannot find our luggage. Like, I don't know where they are. Like, he's like, I can't find them. Like, nowhere? He's like, I don't know where they are. I'm like, he's like, leave your information, and we'll probably deliver it to you tomorrow. So I'm like, okay. I gave him my Airbnb, which is like an hour away from the airport. Leave not having a lot of faith that our stuff's going to be delivered. But I'm like, all right, Finn. He's like, all right, you wanted to come here. You wanted to get outside of your comfort zone. You want to practice spirituality wherever you go. Let it go. If they lose your stuff, you don't need it. Wake up the next day. Did not pass the spiritual test, guys. Nope. No, did not. My wife, I got to throw her on the bus, too. She wanted her stuff, too. We made the decision that I was going to go back to the train station, take the hour-long ride back there, and investigate while she explored Milan with our two little boys. Get back there. Luckily, finally, they have located our bags. They're in London, and they're coming on the next incoming flight, which is about 2 hours. I'm like, all right, that's good for me. So I sit there, go meditate in the terminal. You know, I'm like trying to, I don't know. Come back. Plane's delayed another 2-3 hours. I'm like, Of course it is. So about after 7-8 hours, finally get the bags, but the bags are in hand. I come back. We go out to dinner. It's 10 o'clock, 10 p.m. The kids haven't eaten, but we're like, you know, we're going to embrace this Italian life. You know, yeah, let's go to an osteria. We found this kind of hole in the wall. No tourists were there besides us, and that was a good thing, you know. And the table wine was just so good, and the pasta was cooked to perfection. I'm like, we are on our Finn European vacation. Let's go. We go and explore Milan. We see the Last Supper, and the kids, Ford, our oldest one, starts to get really curious about Jesus and his life. And I judge that's a good thing. We're getting that cultural enrichment we wanted. We're getting talking about Christ. You know, across from it, there's another fresco the crucifixion. It's not nearly as popular as, you know, The Last Supper, but he's all curious. We get him a Leonardo da Vinci coloring book, and I'm like, this is fantastic. We're off to a good start. We go to Tuscany, this beautiful little hamlet that's miles away from any city. It's often this beautiful little spot in Tuscany. We wake up the next day, and it's like Sting song, Fields of Gold. It's just this radiant amber golden light is coming, emanating from the ground. And we're like, yes, my wife goes on a run. She tags me out. I go on a run. I start running. And I'm like, man, this is beautiful. It's so beautiful. But then, you know, the voice in the head, you know, wherever you go, there you are. It's like, Finn, who do you think you are? You don't deserve this trip. You don't deserve this beauty. Who do you, you know? And I'm like, all right, I hear you. Push that out. And the guilt thing. Like, you know, I'm going to keep running. And I realized I'm running. I'm jogging on my knee that I just had surgery on about 3-4 months ago. Now, I'm not doing some crazy Carl Lewis clip, but I'm jogging without pain. And I was like, you know what? I never thought I'd be able to run again. Taking the blessing. Come up this gravel hill. ELO comes on. Do you? Do you? Do you want my love? Oh, baby. I'm like, yes, God, I want your love. I'm going to keep going. Go Your Own Way comes on. Fleetwood Mac. I'm like, I'm going my way. I found my path. I'm on my journey. I've been absent for so long. I'm going to appreciate this beautiful trip. And then when I get back, I'm going to really dive into my spiritual growth. I'm committing myself to taking classes. I'm going to help people wherever I go. And I'm getting all these spiritual pings, right? I'm up the road. I see this huge screw in the gravel road. I pick it up. I'm like, this is not good in my tire. This is not good in my neighbor's tire. I have removed the metaphorical thorn, guys. It's done. Like, all the years of therapy, pranayama, meditation, whatever, I have become enlightened. Thank you, God. Thank you, Italy. Wake up the next day, hit by a train. You know when you go to bed and you're like, it's 50-50. You're like, I might be okay, might not, might have a little cold. I was hit. I don't know what I had, man. I thought I was dying. I woke up. My chest was heavy. I had congestion. I had the shakes. I was just a mess. Okay. All right. That's my journey. Leah takes the boys. She goes and explores Florence. A lot of Tuscany without me because I can't really move. Like, and it took me 8-9 days to feel better. And I'm sitting there. And I'm like, okay, you're really mad. You're PO'd. But let's embrace this. You know, you say God is everywhere. God is in all things. Do you really believe that? Or is it just lip service? And on some level, I was getting what I asked for. I was getting out of my routine. I was getting some alone time, time to reflect, you know. But a breakdown in paradise is still a breakdown. You know, finally I feel better. Have a company move to Rome. And exploring the city, where it's going to be all this cultural experience. But by this time, you know, we're starting to lose a little family morale. It's very evident to me that, to us, that our older son is missing his much-needed stasis and routine. And a lot of his, call them bugaboos, are starting to rear their ugly head. They're fighting all the time. And my wife and I are starting to have, you know, these morbid thoughts of like, God, why do we do this? We thought it'd be good to get us out of our routine. It'd be good to go away for a long time. It's too long. Why do we make this trip so long? Are we bad parents? We put our desires in front of our kids' needs, you know, and I just internalized everything, and I turned away from my obligations. I before we left, I was like, I'm not going to be on social media. I'm going to limit my phone use. No. I, like, every time I was upset, I would go on Instagram, whatever, just to get away, distract myself from the reality that was right in front of me, that my kids need help. They're struggling. We're struggling. We get to Ischia, that was our last stop, it was the island, and we get there and we're like, okay, sun, sand, get out of the huge hustle and bustle of the city, it will give us a lot of stasis that we've been looking for. And the first couple days are good, but then Leah gets sick. She had this cough that she wouldn't quit coughing for, I don't know, 24, 40 hours, just this constant. So it's not going the way we plan. And on one of the last, second to last, third days we're there, you know, I've just had it. I'm out of my seat of integrity. And I can't deal with it anymore. I kind of lose it on my son. And I end up finding myself in his room, holding him, against my chest, and we're just crying for 30 minutes. And it was in that moment that I was taken back to the beginning of the trip. When, you know, I'm getting all these spiritual pings, and I'm just in love and caressed by the warm sunlight of the Tuscan sun, and the breeze is blowing in my face. And I realized, you know, I'd made a pact to be open. I thought things were, it's always so much easier on your journey, right? It's so much easier to hold your integrity when things are going the way you want. You know, I'll meditate, and like, and life's good, you know, all the bills are paid, you know, the dog goes outside, like all the boxes are checked, right? And you're like, man, I am so just zenned out. But then something hits you and you just lose it. And I realize that's what's happening. I made a pact to be there, and I was not there because it was hard. Does that resonate with any of you guys? The next day, I lost my favorite ring in the ocean. And it was at that moment that I realized that this journey, this life, is not about getting things. It's about letting go. It's about letting go of our expectations. It's about letting go of our wishes. And it's about being present to the reality of what's really going on. Amen. And when I was holding my son and we were just flooding our eyes out, he looked at me with these big, sincere, truthful eyes and said, Daddy, my mind is louder than my heart. And my body wants to go with my heart, but it goes with my mind because it's louder. And that right there, my loves, is the weight of being a spiritual being on a physical journey. It's that duality. You know, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Proverbs 16:9. And taking that, expounding on that thought, Michael Singer, who is one of my favorites for spirituality and growth, has these beautiful words to say from the untethered soul. The spiritual journey is one of constant transformation. In order to grow, you must give up the struggle to remain the same and learn to embrace change at all times. There's nothing wrong with feeling the energies of fear, jealousy, or attraction. It's not your fault these energies exist. All the attractions, repulsions, thoughts, and feelings don't make any difference. They don't make you pure or impure. They're not you. You are the one behind here. You are the one that's watching. You are the one that is pure consciousness. And don't think you'd be free if you didn't just have these kinds of feelings. It's not true. It's not true. If you can be free even though you're having these kind of feelings, then you're really free. Because the truth is, there will always be something. And just because your journey right now doesn't look like the one you thought it'd be when you started, doesn't mean you're on the wrong one, my loves. It does not. You're right where you need to be. What fun would it be if you knew the end at the beginning? It's not the idea of what you want the journey to be, but the joy is just being able to take it and existing. Finding the joy in the present moment, you know? Ali Benazir, I think I said this in my last talk. He's a Harvard guy, biologist, scientist. He did the model. He ran the numbers. And according to him, we have a 1 in 10 to the 2,685,000 power chance of being here on this plane of existing. So take that in for a moment, you know? You don't need to go to the convenience store after service because you've already won the lottery. I was upset that it wasn't the fun, frivolous vacay that I hoped for. When things got challenging in Italy, I wanted to go home. I forgot about just the blessing of us even able to do that, to be there. I got wrapped up in my own emotions, my own thoughts, my own perceived shortcomings. And I thought for a second, you know, where is home? What is comfort? While I was there, all I could think about when things got tough is I wanted to come back here. Which is funny, Because my wife posted this video on Instagram a couple days ago. It was this clip, this montage of our trip. And it showed the kids playing. It showed our journeys, our excursions. And I started tearing up. And I found myself wanting to go back. And then that, I mean, the grass is always greener, right? That, there's no geographical cure. Wherever you go, there you are. Thank you. And it's just a fallacy. It's like the idea of, like, I can't be spiritual everywhere, right? Our home is here. Our home is God inside of us. It's like I have to be in the greater Central Texas Hill Country region to be evolved, to be helpful. It's not it's not true. We're just trying to find the love everywhere we go of God and ourselves. And we try to fill that emptiness sometime, that void, with all these things we think we need. But we don't need anything. We just need to sit down, calm down, and realize the one universal truth, that we're all one and we're all God. You know, I wish I could handle things a little differently, you know, in retrospect. And we all do that. But you got to fear not, because we all make mistakes. And the goal of this journey is not to leave this plane in some pristine, hermetically sealed condition. No. Get out there. Make mistakes. Get messy. Get in the muck. Get dirty. Clean yourself off. Rinse, wash, repeat. Take the toy out of the box, guys. Enjoy it. No matter what. Because there is joy in all things. And you know the perfect time to start? It's right now. Your journey starts right now. Let's take that energy, those thoughts into meditation, if you will, with me. Oh my gosh, guys. I'd like to start with a little breath work, if you can. If not, no worries. Just sit there and notice your being in your seat. Taking those slow inhales and follow that, because that breath, that is your energy. That is your energy source. That's your engine. That is God. And follow that and realize it's such a wonderful journey. Every millisecond of your life to be able to feel that. To fill your body with prana. To fill with energy and with love. As you open yourself and your heart and your mind with these breaths, realizing your life force, I want you to just think of yourself as nothing, just pure energy. Let go of all of your stories, all of these models and these fabrications of what you think you are. Let go of anything that might have happened to you that you've been clinging to. Any indiscretions, any judgments or false stories you have about yourself or others, and just be in the purity of space. I want you to breathe into this space. I want you to breathe into yourself, and I want you to breathe and feel the infinite love that is there. It's taken almost 14 billion years to get to this point. Feel the reverence of the journey. Feel the reverence of your being. And I want you to go in there, to sit with yourself, to sit with this expanse that doesn't begin and doesn't end. It is eternal, it is everywhere, and I want you to forgive yourself. I want you to look at all the hard places and shine a light in there, every little crevice. For there is no point to travel heavy. Lay down your burden, lay down your baggage, and walk freely on this path. We thank you, God. We thank you, divine energy, for our existence, for our hands, for our toes, for our feet, just for being. We are enough. We are always enough. We were created in your likeness. We give thanks for this. We give thanks for the journey. Now and always, forever and ever. And so it is.
Well, the moral of that story is we won't be going on vacation anytime soon. I'm kidding. Thank you so much. You are so wonderful, and we are so grateful to have you.